be willing to speak on skillful and unskillful ways of approaching restraint?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, in the sense Jeff mentioned it in there that if you're just trying to hold it all in so that nothing leaks out to what's unskillful and what's bad. Because there's one, you just, without investigating, so you realize, well, actually, just that perception of, I've got to, what kind of person has to hold himself in so tightly? It's like there's a self-perception that is this kind of raging fiend that's going to go out and do all these awful things. But then you hold it in, but then you can only hold it together so far, fortunately or unfortunately, we don't have the opportunity to find ourselves in front of a refrigerator sparking a gallon of ice cream, and we'll do something similar, and we'll just hopefully be evil. But we can't hold it in anymore. So that's unskillful. And obviously we have to be, and that's one of the benefits of having a really clear boundaries of our precepts, because as deranged as we can become, we don't get up to anything that creates really bad karma and really long-term unwholesome effects on us. So that sense of restraint is you can actually take delight in it. And then also learning how realizing that, there is a certain amount of restraint that's required just by living our life, doing our practice. I can remember the early years of being a monk, and the Buddha was really diabolical. He pulled you in and inspired you, and then there's no escape. but you actually have to learn how to have fairly innocent escape, just like that. Sajjan Jeff mentioned. You're really delighting in nature, really delighting in goodness, delighting in things that are of a natural beauty, delighting in the wholesomeness and wisdom of others. And you realize there are these beings who are really live in very pure-hearted ways, and that's something to really that delight in, the focus on, direct attention to them. Or the external beauty, or doing something that is a benefit to others. Having the restraint, but feeling really oppressed by it, and meditating was going so well, and so the internal, so just pick up a broom and sweeping the tiles, and just there's a creating there's a real satisfaction looking back and seeing a nicely swept path through the forest. So that, and there's just so many things that one can do that are beneficial for everybody. I'm sure you realize that walking down a nicely split path in the forest, everybody delights in it, I'm sure. So there's when you're putting one's energy out in things. So that's skillful use of restraint. That's where one's restraining one's actions. But doing things that are wholesome and skillful. So there's these different areas. What we're doing is learning how to direct our energy and attention in ways that are beneficial and useful.
Remember when you were talking about that meeting, this is the point of sort of recognizing that being here is just restraint. We kind of miss that, and kind of miss the joy of that. That Paul Breiter, when he was visiting kind of in the early days, and we were reading a lot about Ajahn Chah and how it was in the early days, and I was like, he was talking about you writing the book or something. And I was like, yeah, it seems really cushy here compared to what it was when you were training. He's like, are you joking? This cushy? It's like, they started listing all these points, things that we don't do, and it's just
right. Like,
that he does at home. Oh, yeah.
So,
also find, too, with restraint that, like, whenever, say I do transgress like an adhikan or something like that, and it gives me an opportunity to more vividly reflect upon the danger. And as Jeff was saying, like, it's, at first, of course, we're going to be in our straitjacket and we're going to be, conforming to some ideal, but if you skillfully, we start to see and actually understand the dangers. And then if you really see the dangers in investing outside, you don't need a straitjacket, you naturally recoil in the hiryotapa of, and so I find that, again, like the out of learning, specifically learning about the gratification, danger, and escape.
There are two other topics of restraint that I consider using, and what I really liked about this one in particular was the karma aspect.
Right.
And that's also part of the reason with the becoming, is it, the fact that it really, not only are you dealing with past karma, so you have to have compassion for those things. And unfortunately, one of the other ones, I think, had a good simile of, like, you're providing restraint because it's like putting a dam in the water. So it's something to see the resistance. So it's something to observe the nature of the mind, to move out. So that's why restraint is beneficial. But I went with this one because really the kind of feedback, and when you're trying to practice restraint, the benefit you see to your practice and how the continuity, and that's why I chose this, because it really, to me, I mean, that's it. I mean, with restraint, continuity of the practice, working all the time.
Yeah, it's because sometimes, especially as we become more comfortable with that restraint, I also understand that then you realize, even without sort of a lot of struggle, practice is happening all the time. It becomes really natural.